demand.
Hi, I'm Jim Stroud.
And this is Karen Matinen, and welcome to the Recruiter's Lounge.
The Recruiter's Lounge is a podcast of news, interviews, and commentary on the recruiting industry. And it was designed with you in mind. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your time in the Recruiter's Lounge.
SGA Executive Tracker Pro is an online service providing contact information on thousands of executives at each of the top public and private companies. And hear this, people. It is 100%, yes, 100% telephone verified, constantly updated, highly accurate, and comprehensive. With SGA Executive Tracker Pro, you have at your fingertips the contact information of C-level executives and all of those essential director and management level personnel that you just can't seem to find anywhere else. Listen up, people. SGA Executive Tracker Pro can dramatically shorten the amount of time it takes you to find the best leads. Hey, pick up the phone right now and give them a call. Tell them Jim Stroud said I could have a free 15-minute online demonstration of your product, and I want to see it right now. The number you need to make that happen is 518-843-4611. That's 518-843-4611. And, of course, you can also find them online at www.sgaexecutivetracker.com.
Hello, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Recruiter's Lounge. I'm your host, Jim Stroud, and sitting beside me, still drinking coffee ever since the last episode, is Karen Matinen. How are you, Karen?
Hi, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Put the coffee down. I'm concerned that it's not decaf.
It isn't decaf. I'm sorry.
Caff. You're caffeinated. It has you bouncing off the walls.
I thought you'd like that.
To an extent.
Okay, again, every time I talk, I always got to tell people how patient and wonderful you are, too. I really do.
Yeah.
I'm a hard person to put up with, but you know what?
No, you're not.
Oh, see? I like that. I was fishing for that. You know that, right? I was fishing.
Yeah, well, there you go.
I needed it. Okay, go ahead. What do we have today? What's on our agenda?
Okay, let's sort of start off what we were talking about just a minute ago before the show started about women in the workplace. You were saying something about that?
Yeah, well, I was talking about discrimination. It was kind of interesting that new statistics had come out, right?
Mm.
And they were saying that, you know, women had been if I can find it, really kind of weird, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I hate this when people, when you can't find anything. Okay, they were talking about women who said 66% of women executives said that they felt that they weren't receiving as many opportunities as men to becoming mm-hmm. company CEOs.
Where are you quoting from?
Hans Gallen.
Okay.
They are really getting a lot of press recently, aren't they?
Yeah, I know.
And then they also said that 54.1% of the survey respondents representing both sexes, both men and women, are equally adept at managing employees, right?
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, also, 51.2% of executives, female, responding to the survey said they'd experienced some form of sexual harassment.
What percentage is that?
51%.
Now, see, that's unfair because I've been working for a long time. Several years, actually, I've been doing recruitment research for 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and I have yet to be harassed sexually.
Well,
and I'm complaining about that.
I guess.
Well, I guess I can't complain now since I'm married, but prior to being married.
Well, you know what? You know, you could go ahead and complain a little bit more and ask them to take away some of your salary. That might work.
No. Before I got married, if I had a really attractive manager
uh-huh.
and they wanted to harass me before I was married, it would probably have been interesting.
Well, you know, I got a question to ask you about this. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, male sexual harassment has been going up to the tune like 15 to 20%, okay?
Wait a minute. Men harassing women or women harassing men?
Or it could be women harassing men or men harassing men, okay?
Oh, that's male sexual unfair because I've never experienced that.
Okay, well, here's an interesting thing.
I've 10 years never experienced that.
Okay, he's begging for it, I guess.
No, I'm not, because I'm happily married.
Oh, you are? Well, by the way, he is happily married.
So what?
I said you are happily married. You really are.
Very happily married. So if it had happened when I was single, especially when I was in college, that could have been okay. But
Well, the thing about it that's interesting about this, okay, let's go back to this. I really find this interesting because going with what you were saying, here's a, I'd like to hear the conversation that, let's say that the guy's got this gorgeous, gorgeous wife.
Mm-hmm.
And his boss is also equally gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And she's hitting on him. And he's now telling all the people that, I'd love to hear the conversation that the man's having with his male, other male buddies. I just turned my boss in for sexual harassment. You mean the beautiful woman that worked for you? Yeah. You work under? Yeah.
Dude, you're an idiot.
I'd love to hear that conversation.
You know, the guy would say, dude, you're so stupid. Why didn't you? Oh, she's so hot.
Exactly. But kind of like stereotyping, though? Isn't that just so bad? Because men shouldn't complain about...
Well, you know what? You put an example of the boss being hot. Now, what if she's not so hot?
I'm wondering if she was a guy.
Yeah.
And the thing is, but let's
Hold on. Let's hold on that a minute. Yeah, what if he was a guy and he was obviously gay and the employee was straight, and the guy says, hey, come on over here, let's do some late hour work or something like
that. You're so stressed. Let me rub your back for you, right?
Yeah, I'm like, no.
No, let's just
that kind of thing would start a fight.
Can I go back a second, though?
Right.
Let's just say that she is the most gorgeous woman, your boss, okay?
Let's do that.
And she's
I like
got 36D boobs, and she's wearing her dresses all tight and everything.
Oh, baby.
Okay, but hold on. But you're in your, you just mentioned several times you're happily married.
I am.
Okay, and so the thing is, I mean, your wife comes into the boss in your office now and again to see you. And she sees this woman hitting on you, and she's putting...
That wouldn't happen in my case, because I would have stopped it.
Exactly. Well, you would stop it, but it doesn't, because she doesn't stop. She's threatening you with your job now.
First thing I would do is tell my wife so it wouldn't interfere anything at home.
Exactly.
And then I would talk to her boss or talk to HR.
So where I was going with this, though, is, you see, it's so unfair because here we made the stereotype about, can you imagine the conversation with the guys, you know? But yet, you know... Being realistic, gorgeous or not, she could really make a marriage uncomfortable. She can make your body, even though she may be beautiful.
What if the guy was, what if she was hot and single and he was hot and single? Well, hot to her.
Uh-huh.
You know, and what about that? I guess the same thing could apply, but I guess it would be easier. I guess his friends would give him more kudos if he was single and she was doing this to him.
Well, then would it be harassment? It still could be harassment. May be hot and single, but he just doesn't want her. And he wants to get her job, or he wants to get promoted, but he doesn't want – because can you imagine the office gossip on something like this too? Oh, dude, you're going to get promoted because you're doing the boss? That kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of stress that comes from this.
But see – I think that's why some companies frown on office romance, because of the possibility of that happening.
Well, I just tell you one thing. I think it must be harder for men to report than women.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I do. I think that there's just a stigma.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, I'm glad...
It's going to hit the ego belt, you know? It's like, it would just be weird.
I feel sorry for guys. I mean, because the thing is, it's the same...
And let me clarify that. It would be weird if she was hot. And I was single, and I turned it down, and it would be hard for me to – it would be kind of weird, I would think.
And it's also going to be weird to even talk about it if it's a guy.
Right.
And it's definitely weird even if she's not attractive.
Well. If she's not attractive, I don't know if there will be as much of a problem, as bad as that may sound for me to say.
Yeah, but then again, if she is unattractive, though, the fact that she's hitting on you, you know, a lot of guys have a problem with that, too, though. They don't want to admit that the unattractive woman finds them hot.
Right.
So, I mean, that's how guys are. I mean, guys are very, you know, into image and stuff, right? You know? I'm kind of, like, doing this. I mean, we're going to get some really interesting email on this, I can tell you. You know, we're doing some major stereotyping here. But that's it. This is what we're talking about is regarding stereotyping. Male harassment claims are going up tremendously and fast. And yet, you know, even me and you having this conversation, we're doing some major stereotyping that these guys must be feeling and doing some of these claims. That's so weird.
I don't even think – I mean, this may be bad to say, too, so this might be really anti-PC, but I've never heard of a guy being harassed by another woman on the job. I'm sure it happens. Obviously, you have stats there. I've never heard it happen. Never. I work for big corporations, small businesses, things in between. Never heard it.
I think that the reason you've never heard of it is the reason that it was very rarely reported is because of the things that we're discussing right now. Guys are too embarrassed to discuss it.
Well, that's true.
I mean, giving the perfect reason, and we're explaining the perfect reason by what we're saying, why a guy would want to be humiliated by this. He wouldn't want to discuss it with you. He probably doesn't even want to go into the office and discuss it at work, or he doesn't even want to go into the EU office and rehash the whole situation because he's probably thinking he's strange or weird. Why, you know, like, well, I mean, I can't control myself. I'm a guy. I'm a man. Men aren't supposed to be sexually harassed.
Well,
that only happens to women, you know?
Or it only happens in bad porno movies.
Or bad porno movies.
Isn't that like the perfect porno scenario?
That would probably be a great porno.
See, I don't know. Maybe that's just my bad thinking. Pray for me, but that's just... That's
we
just
get
what I think
royalties,
about.
All right, from anybody who decides to do this. We have now put it out there. We have licensed... When we publish this, this is a published idea.
Okay? Yeah.
Oh, that's funny though. Yeah, but that would be a very interesting.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's the thing is, it's like I think that's the reason you said you've never heard it happen,
mm-mm.
And yet it's going up 15%. So, it's happening.
Yep.
And you know what? I think to consider this. Okay, a lot of women are bucking the trend, and trying to go ahead and say, okay, I don't want to be sexually harassed. Sexual harassment's rate's still high.
Right.
I'm gonna go make my own office. I'm gonna build my own company. So. Women
or go work at Nordstrom.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm going to go ahead and build my own company. Like, women building own companies are still, like, the fastest growing segment, right?
Hold on. Let me explain that for someone who didn't hear the last podcast. We talked about the best companies to work for, according to Fortune magazine, and Nordstrom's was high on the list because it had a lot of women executives and a lot of women in management positions. So I mentioned that.
It was 53%, wasn't it?
Yeah. This is for people who, like, what's he mean, Nordstrom's? So Nordstrom is very, very female-friendly. There you go. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, well, anyways, so all these women are bucking the system and creating all these companies. Okay, in fact, women businesses are also one of the largest employee.
What's the word?
Having more employees, having tons of employees, women book at home businesses. I can't even think of the word.
Keep going.
Okay, anyways, thank you. So okay, I'm quitting from the coffee. Okay, so I could see with all these new women managers coming into the workplace and all these women own businesses, yeah, I could see it happening more often now.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And now with the internet and everybody's getting on the internet and getting to see, hey, you know, I got here's resources and here's my recourses and stuff like that. I bet you more and more people are feeling more comfortable about complaining now.
You know what I should put right here? We should insert some bad disco music.
What?
Okay.
Now you wanted to talk. Now, there is something you wanted to talk about in our last show. We didn't get.
You know, I totally forgot about it now. Okay, I remember now.
I'm moving on. Okay, I'm actually blushing here. Okay. I can't believe me. I'm blushing.
Let me stop. All right, back to business.
Okay, back to business. In your last podcast, we were going to talk about something we had been discussing as well. Yes, we have some more interesting conversations.
That's right. And I got to make a note to myself to tell my wife not to listen to this podcast.
Well, actually, what was also interesting, what Tim always gets mad at me about, is because he's always like, we're getting these conversations. He's like, save it for the podcast.
That's right.
We should be recording now.
What were we talking about? Oh, yeah. I remember what it was. Now, do you know how you can make millions of dollars? Do you know that you can make millions of dollars as an HR executive?
I know. I mean, oh my gosh, that is so bad.
It was. I'm telling people what we're talking about because they weren't privy to our earlier conversation. I read this. Actually, I had a guest blogger, a guy named Brian Sommer. Hello, Brian. How are you? And he had a very interesting article that got a lot of comments. He talked about the pay of top HR executives over at Home Depot.
Millions.
And
millions.
Well, it wasn't just Home Depot, but Home Depot is the one that I focused on.
Well, we're not just talking about salaries.
Okay, let me do it. Like top HR executives over at Home Depot received a total compensation package of $5,804,081.
I thought they got some other stuff too, like
they
you know,
did.
Yes.
They also reported to have received an additional $12,987,242 in other compensation. I don't know what that other compensation
stock was. Options, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
That's like, woo. I don't
know.
Can
I say something?
What do you think they did to warrant that kind of money?
First off, I want to interject something to recruiters. To all those recruiters out there who think HR isn't important anymore and you should try to go ahead and go around HR, this is reasons why you don't go around HR.
You know what? If you do the math on that, all those millions, if you do like a cost/employee basis, how much it was worth, the Home Depot executive is costing the company about $52 per employee that they're administrating over.
I mean, what was
dollars an employee? That's a big sum.
I mean, what I'm surprised, and you talk about Home Depot, and I like, you know, the reason we're kind of picking on Home Depot. Has anybody been in Home Depot recently?
I mean,
try to get some help in there sometimes.
Oh yeah, I have heard about that. You know, someone commented on that particular blog post, and they said that sometimes Home Depot, at least I guess it depends on the HR position, but they'll have them actually work on the floor for a period of time.
Really, the HR?
Yeah.
Yep. Well, you mean HR manager, not the damn CEO.
No, this is. I'm gonna read the comment that was on the blog post, and I'll of course link to it from the site. Said this one person who I guess is anonymous called themselves Poker. Said I interviewed someone who had worked HR at Home Depot. He said that part of his permanent job duties was to work in the store stocking shelves and performing general clerk duties. End quote.
Did they maybe get promoted to HR?
I don't know. He said, sorry, I'm all for HR, knowing the business and having empathy for employees, but this is ridiculous. Sounded to me that it was more of a cheap way for the organization to get extra help at expense of full-time HR attention.
I don't know. I kind of find that kind of interesting. Maybe it was just that particular office because I don't see – because, I mean, I almost applied a long time ago for an HR job, and, I mean, that would have been unacceptable. I mean, it's a kind of a great idea to have them try to be empathetic, but sorry, that's a little bit too empathetic. I mean, can you imagine a doctor having to go through cancer and having to suffer it so that they could treat their client, their patients better? I mean, I don't know. That kind of seems like...
Well, that's just a comment that someone made.
And I just don't see that. I mean, HR, you can't be too empathetic. You have to be able to say, you're fired, and not feel it.
Well,
can you imagine having to fire, being so empathetic and firing 500 or 550 people from one particular department because you had and you're empathetic? I think that would be rather challenging.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons I have a hard time of thinking myself in HR. I can't bear the thought of giving the pink slip to people.
Wow.
I mean, but back to salaries. Let's go back to this. I mean, as you
said, what is worth that kind of compensation?
What is an HR person doing? Yeah, I mean, it's like,
hold on, that's not to bash the hardworking HR people who listen and subscribe to this podcast in any way. But I do have to ask, is it worth that much money?
And can I also kind of like reflect to like, for example, and I'm bringing this up for a reason. Okay, we're talking about sexual harassment and stuff like that too.
Right.
I'm going back to Walmart, where there are 1.75 million plaintiffs lawsuits. Okay, and that's 1.75 million plaintiffs in this lawsuit that are suing Walmart, and they're all women, mind you, that had never been in management positions or didn't get promotions or raises, et cetera, okay?
Right.
The appellate court in California said they're going to let this lawsuit go through. Now, my question is, okay, Walmart has gone through a rash of lawsuits, and they have lost a tremendous rash of lawsuits, and they have had to provide huge settlements. One, I mean, we're talking tunes of hundreds of millions in each state, okay, for discrimination cases. My question is, HR, what were you guys doing? Where were you? Or was it that your CEOs don't listen to you? And if your CEOs aren't listening to you, and they're going ahead and say, we're doing business because we see fit, then what's the purpose of you being there?
Oh, so this So HR should have been the preventative measures well before any kind of thought of a lawsuit come up, because they should have squashed it early on.
Well, I mean, that's what it stands for, human resource. Okay, so my question is, I mean, if I'm owning a lot of stock in Walmart, and I don't, but let's say if I do own a lot of stock in them, okay, and I see that Walmart keeps getting all these lawsuits, which they are, based upon their human capital, which they've been getting a lot of them, and having to settle these millions and millions and hundreds of billions of dollars, my question would be, what's wrong with this HR group? Or why aren't they having more power over their CEOs? And if there's a VP of HR sitting in the CEO organization in those boardrooms meetings, why don't they have more power? If they're making that much money.
And that's a lot of money.
I mean, that is a lot of money. So for that much money, we shouldn't be having, I would say, for example, like Walmart, they shouldn't be suffering that many lawsuits.
So is it that either it's the HR is ineffective or the CEO is just not listening to them?
And if the CEO is not listening to much, let's go back to the pay.
The CEO should be listening to them after you get hit by one lawsuit. You should be listening to them every day.
Well, the thing about it is, I mean, we're talking class action lawsuits in a lot of cases here. Walmart had a tremendous amount of class action lawsuits last year and the year before and the year before that, okay?
Yeah.
And based a lot on pay. A lot of it's been based on gender. A lot of big issues going on. Overtime issues, you know. It's been, in fact, one outfit, they locked their people in the office. It's a cleaning crew, and they said you can't leave until you're finished. Kind of. I think it was a cleaning crew with employees. It was weird.
Are you serious?
No, I'm totally dead serious. In another situation, there was where allegedly they've been threatening these women and saying, hey, you have to record that we did pay you overtime. We didn't ask you to stay overtime. And if you don't record the message, we're going to go ahead and fire you. That's what allegedly has been said, okay?
Wow.
Based upon what I heard, you know, the courts are accepting that this is what happened because there was a cease and desist order on Walmart that they couldn't do this to the employees and basically terrorize them, okay?
Wow.
I mean, Walmart has, allegedly, Walmart has a tremendous history in having these problems.
Or at the very least, have a history of hiring bad managers.
Right. Now, the thing is, when that's a question, the question was, and this is how they fought it, they said in California Appellate Court, well, you know, you can't blame the whole company based upon certain offices. It's not a company or, you know, system that we put in place.
Right.
Well, actually, the appellate court says, no, we think it's kind of basically, yeah, you have this system in place that continues to have this pervasive issue. You know, it's like either you're not training these people properly or you are training them improperly to do this, in return on your investment, okay? It's like go ahead and pay the lawsuit because it's worth more in our investment to have these people do this stuff kind of a thing, right?
Yeah.
So, in other words, the situation is now Walmart settles a lot too, by the way, which doesn't mean that they're guilty. Okay, I got to tell you something.
It just means they wanted to go away and go on back and do other things.
It usually means that it's cheaper to settle than it is to go through the court system.
Sure.
Okay, and that's usually the case. But they always say, we settle, but it doesn't mean we're guilty. We're not going to admit guilt. That's what a lot of time happens, okay?
Right.
But they're settling big sometimes recently, okay? But I got to tell you, I mean, let's go back to this. Either you've got the CEO of HR making that kind of money, and you got the CEO of the company himself making that tremendous amount of money.
Yeah.
And the company's losing money in the long run. For all these lawsuits, you got to ask yourself, what are companies doing paying these executives so much money? And why aren't you paying them based upon a performance instead?
Ah, which is how you would prefer, I guess. Probably. I guess it makes sense, actually. So if an employee does X amount of projects or items or what have you,
mm-hmm.
it generates so much money for the company
mm-hmm.
to be compensated proportionately.
Yeah, because, I mean, let's take Bob Nardelli, okay?
Yep.
People might know that Nardelli Bob...
Is.
Pardon?
Tell people who he is.
Well, Bob Nardelli, he's one of the most famous CEOs out there, okay?
Yep.
Home Depot. Okay? Bob Nardelli was ousted out of Home Depot. Because he helped see that the performance of the stock fall 7.9%.
Yeah.
But then this, you know, the shareholders were all kind of pissed off and saying, look, you know, you've got this huge, enormous salary and way overblown, and we think you should be kicked out of this situation because you shouldn't be making this much money because we're not seeing any profit. Well, get what? This, though. When he left, oh, by the way, he made $123 million, excluding stock options he received, by the way, okay?
When they fired him, they gave him $123 million to go away?
No, that's how much. It was basically the six-year tenure that he had.
Mm-hmm.
When the stock falls 7.9%, he had an enormous pay package. That's his total pay package was $123 million, you know, basically a year almost.
Wow.
Okay, now, he did, when he left, I'm not sure exactly how much his golden parachute was, but he got compensated a couple hundred million, I believe it was, just to leave.
If someone out there wants to pay me $2 million just to leave,
mm-hmm.
I'll take it.
Do you want to know what's sad? That
what?
In 1980, CEO pay was 40 times that the average blue-collar pay.
40 times worth?
42 times.
Well, you know what?
But guess what it is today?
What?
In 2006... CEO pay was 364 times the same worker's pay. It's the largest gap in the world.
But see, okay, here we go. It depends on who the CEO is and what they deliver. If you have a Bill Gates, for example, running
mm-hmm.
your company,
mm-hmm.
and he puts the company on the map and takes it to a global enterprise and makes it to several billions of dollars in profit every month, then he deserves that amount of money.
Okay, now let's then go back to what we were talking about, performance-related pay.
Mm.
Because, I mean, if you want to go ahead and hire people like, for example, Mike Orvitz or Damar Abner Daly or Hank McNilo, who are all these huge CEOs
mm-hmm.
who saw their companies completely falter and fail, and they definitely didn't deserve the golden parachutes they got when they left, okay? Let's look at GM, okay? How they're firing tons of people, and their CEO still keeps getting more and more money, okay? So if we were to instead go look at companies like Ceradyne, Whole Foods Market, Joann's Stores, Digi International, these are companies who pay their CEOs based upon performance.
And is their pay 40 times more than their average blue-collar worker?
They're still
or
paid.
100 times, rather?
They're still paid quite a amount of money. But, like, for example, Ceradyne, Joel Moskowitz was paid an average of just $7.66 over the past 3 years, but their stock shot up 924%. But then he'll also get some stock options. See, that might be his base salary, but he'll get a whole bunch of bonus and stock options, et cetera, and other options to allow him to be – it's kind of like you work hard – and you do really good instead of going home and watching Oprah, okay, and twiddling your fingers, okay, we'll pay you.
Did you say watch Oprah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, it's like, this is kind of like what I see in sales, for example, too. I see
yeah.
these companies, like, for example, my client's competitors, like a Honeywell or a Johnson, stuff like that, they pay these massive, massive, huge salaries. I call
right.
them the golden parachute, the golden handcuffs, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They have these huge, massive salaries. And these candidates, these employees, they don't sell extremely well. And these guys, companies wonder, why aren't they selling that great? But then you have these other companies who pay lower salaries but give these huge bonuses and commissions, okay, based upon their sales.
Hmm.
And guess what? These people go out there and they're driven by their sales numbers, and they're going to go ahead and try to make sure they drive harder and harder and harder to win the bonuses and compensation and commissions and et cetera, because that's how their main income comes in.
Hmm.
And I guess the reason I look at this way personally is because I work on straight sales commissions, you know?
Right.
And so I'm owning my own company. My actions make it how much I make. What I do, if I work, I make money. If I don't work, I don't. So let's come back to these CEOs. I mean, here you have right now the American middle class is literally dissolving. It's just gone. We're fading. American wages actually reduced last year.
But the CEO salaries are consistent and growing.
Yeah. Oh, and American wages actually decreased last year. Do you also know what's amazing, too?
What?
You know how they keep saying that unemployment was 4.5%?
Yeah.
But literally the jobs that actually were in the workforce were less last year than they were 2006 by over a million and a half.
How would you explain that?
Well, back to workforce per thousand, I mean payroll per thousand. They're going to count people who are actually employed or unemployed, but then they got to base it on the jobs instead. Mm-hmm. But they don't do that. You know, the Department of Labor doesn't look at actually how many jobs and how many people are working on those jobs, which is what the economists use. And so, like, California put it out right recently in a really good alert that said, we have so many less jobs than we have and based upon the population. The supply and demand is just not there. It's not equaling out anymore.
So do you see the job market being more as a starting to turn to a company market as opposed to a job seeker market?
It's been like that for so long. Listen to this. For all of 2007, the economy added 1.3 million new jobs. And that's a million fewer than were added in 2006. Yet we had more people coming into the country. We had more people moving in. We gave a lot more H-1B visas. Yet we had that many new jobs. Each month throughout 2007, employers across the country added an average of 111,000 jobs. But in December, that growth stopped abruptly, with the nation's business adding only 18,000 new jobs. But yet, somehow or the other, unemployment stayed at 4.5%. I'm sorry. I just make me so angry, you know, because we are not this super economy that people kept thinking we are. And last year, I mean, we're talking miserable. That's just terrible. And unfortunately, the largest unemployment numbers were blacks. Do you know, I'm sorry to say this, okay, but blacks right now, we're at 10.8 in unemployment.
Now, we talked about that at length, too.
Sorry, 8.3.
I want to revisit that conversation because we were going over different figures. And correct me if I'm wrong, we were saying how that one group, I think, was it that white women were making more money than their male counterparts in the beginning, but towards the end, the male counterparts made more than they did?
Actually, let's start with something
that's
interesting.
And also, are minorities of the same case as well?
Well, actually, what's interesting is, let's start with that, but you've made a good point, too. Minority women, Asians and blacks, make more money than their white female counterparts when they get out of college.
Unless they're in Britain.
Unless they're in Britain, which complete reverse.
Right.
By 26%, complete reverse.
Right.
You're talking 26% less income, okay?
Yeah.
Now, for some reason, having an education when you're a minority woman and you're getting out of college is going to be a better opportunity. But it changes for women, for the white women as well as the white male, okay, as well. Women, by the way, coming out of college will make almost equal to the – or similar to their male counterpart, about 90%, okay, 91%, okay?
But then over time, it stabilizes and stagnates.
Completely goes backwards.
Right.
It goes negative. After about 5 to 6 years, you'll see them reduce to 71 cents to every dollar.
That is so weird. I guess it's because the good old boy network, as you like to call it, they look out for their other good old boys and no one else. Is that what you think that is?
I think it's just that men are always going to be the first one, and then we were talking about that in the other show, men are always going to be the first one to get promoted.
Now, could it be that a part of the reason for that is because some large group of women may decide to take time off and start a family and do other things?
I was going to
that be
that.
Part of it as well?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, one of the things that they said, economists and sociologists also suggest the possible factors about these women is that the tendency of minority women, especially blacks, to more often hold more than one job or work more than 40 hours a week. And the tendency of black professional women who take time off to have a child to return to the workforce sooner than others. That's quite interesting.
Let me ask you this. Let me look at it from the. I'll take on the role of the evil employer, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's say I have only so much of a head count, and I have so many candidates I can bring on.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some really good candidates, both men and women, for the role. Let's say they're both equally can do the task. I'm going to think, okay, I can hire this woman into this manager role, and I'm thinking that she'll come on, she'll make some waves, make it happen, but eventually she's going to have children, or she's going to change her mind about her career and do the mom thing, then have to start all over again.
Mm.
Whereas if I hire this guy, I don't have to think about that, because stereotypically thinking, if he gets married, he's still going to stay there. If he's expecting children in his life, he'll still be there. And more than likely, stereotypically, the woman will be home taking care of the kid, and the man will be here on the job regardless of the situation. So it's a safer bet for me to invest in this guy for the role, because then I want to have certain worries as I would with the woman.
Okay, now let me come back to this last question. Have you guys not – it's like – that is so old school, because more men are taking paternity leave.
That's what my companies think.
I know. But here's the problem. More men are taking paternity leave.
But that is on the upswing.
Okay, paternity leave is when a man can go ahead and take time off to be with his wife or to be with the kid.
But
when the baby's born. So mommy takes some time, and then now daddy comes.
But it's still, although it is on the upswing, and I have read articles about that, it's still an anomaly, because it gets on the front page of newspapers.
I mean, no, I think it's because an anomaly, because that's the old school thinking. I mean, that because one of the researchers, and I don't have that in front of me, but one of the research that I had read earlier last week was that more women say, look, it was like only 10 or 15% said, you know, I would not come back on to the job or something like that, you know? I mean, more and more women say, no, this job is important to me. I've got to raise these kids. I've got to have a cow suit. You know, I've got to take care of the family. I mean, there's a lot more women who are out there making more money than their husbands. That doesn't mean that they're making more money than the men that they're working with, but it's more making more money than their husbands. Women are marrying down more and more, by the way. Okay?
Marrying down?
Yeah, we like control. We like control. It's a control thing.
Oh, gosh.
It is. I'm sorry. It hasn't happened to my family. My husband still wants to. You know, he's definitely he's a macho man, okay?
Yeah.
I'm a husband. But anyways.
You're on dangerous ground as well.
And I'm moving away from this real fast. Anyways, so there's a lot more women who actually are making more money than their husbands. And, yes, I'm serious. We are, quotation mark, marrying down in that aspect, if we want to look at it that way, okay?
Mm.
And so the thing is, we are kind of like the predominant breadwinner. Now, also what's kind of interesting, too, you see, back in the 70s, I could see that being an issue, because the husband used to be the main breadwinner. And if people got poor, or the house was going up for, you know, they couldn't make the house payments, or somebody got sick, or somebody was going to die, or whatever, the wife could always go back to work and help save the marriage and save the home and help bring the bills.
And augment what the man was doing.
Yeah, because the man was the predominant breadwinner, right?
Okay, so now your argument is that since that picture has reversed, it's even more unfair for women to get paid less, because now they're becoming the more predominant breadwinners.
Well, not just that. Women today are in the workforce.
Right.
Today, 90% of women pretty much are in the workforce. Okay, they're working right there side by side with their husbands. So now there's a two-family income, and guess what? Instead of now depending on just one income, we're depending on two incomes to pay the bills. And so if mommy got sick or daddy gets sick, there's nobody to help save the bills.
Right.
So the thing is, now today, the woman has to work, not because she wants to. She's working because she has to.
Hmm.
And so there's the difference that lies between the 70s and today. I today have to work because I'm helping being a full-blown contribution to our family and our bills, to help pay for the cars, to help pay for the house, to pay for the electricity, what have you. But before, I didn't, you know, back in the 70s, I was living in the 70s, and I was raising the kids and eating bonbons and watching Lucy on TV, okay? If my husband got hurt on the job, then I could kind of like go, you know, maybe it's time for me to work and help save the house.
Hmm.
So there's the difference. Today we have to. It's an obligation and a necessity. And we need to, because also unfortunately, based upon recession issues, my husband is making less and you are. And every man in America pretty much is making less than their grandfather was based upon inflation, adjusted for inflation.
Hmm.
Oh, no, so the thing is, the American dream is going, but yet, this is interesting,
mm-hmm.
yet homes, the prices of homes have gone up over 2,000%.
The bubble is blowing and burst.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, so here we have homes going up 2,000%, and in the last 20 years, we haven't seen a raise in salaries. Women having to have to work. Daycare is so damn expensive, and yet we're still being, women, especially by the men, are being completely, well, actually, women also get totally, totally discriminated by other women, too. Well, no, I mean, in fact, do you know that there was a tendency for women to actually even discriminate more against other women?
Oh, yeah. Now, that I can easily see.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually true. Other women, the women are so competitive, and it's a lot of women managers will keep some women down.
Yeah.
And that's really, really, really sad.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can't blame men only for her discrimination in the workplace.
Clock on the Wall says we're running out of time.
Oh, okay.
This one went by pretty fast.
How long was this one?
I don't know. Long enough. Okay. That didn't come out right.
That's okay.
If you have any questions or comments in regard to the Curtis Lounge, feel free to give me an email.
Please don't sue us for sexual harassment, okay?
You can email me at jimstroud, J-I-M-S-T-R-O-U-D, at jimstroud.com. Or if you want to reach Karen specifically and rant with her one-on-one, you can reach her by email at Karen, K-A-R-E-N, also at jimstroud.com. So any parting words, Karen M.?
You know, I just kind of see wishing one day would see some changes in the world workplace. I really am, but it's still not there yet. But, you know, we'll keep fighting for it.
Until then, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's it for this show. You've been a wonderful audience. If you like what you heard, love what you heard, or just plain hate what you just heard, let me know. Your feedback matters. You can reach me through my website at jimstroud.com/podcast. That's jimstroud.com/podcast. So until next time, I'm Jim Stroud, and you're not.
Radio, radio, radio talent.
Innovative audio on demand.